Please be seated. Oh, well, hopefully this will stay together. Sorry, folks online, that might have been a little jarring. This is part of our not being ready for prime time at peace, right? Okay. On that note, let's pray again. Father, I think about our kids right now, and I think about classes they have in front of them, the lives they have in front of them. And I pray the beauty of your Spirit to bless them, that they may walk with you and know the joy of that they may be kept from harm and pain that can happen when we wander from you. Lord, that you would give them friends who know you, that you would encourage them in their studies and in finding what they do well, that they may really know the joy of that. Father, again we pray just your hand to guide them, to help them, to bring them home to you. In Jesus' name, amen. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. It is one of the most recognized poems in the English language, Sonnet number 43, a love poem written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning to the man who would become her husband, the poet Robert Browning, published under the title of Sonnets from the Portuguese. But here's the thing. It was never written in Portuguese. But the thought was that it would make it more tender, that tender language, that is, excuse me, it would make that tender language more acceptable to the English readers in the Victorian era because, well, one must not express too much affection publicly. That would simply be unacceptable. Sonnets from the Portuguese was only written in English. Now, backtrack about 3,000 years to another love poem, even better known, part of our scripture reading for today. Turn with me, please, to the Song of Songs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Song of Songs, chapter 3, 1 through 3. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him but did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him but did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go. Before we go to prayer, would you notice the number of times the phrase, the one my heart loves, shines through those verses? Now let's pray. The one our hearts love. Oh, Lord, help us to love you well. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the Song of Songs is a love poem. It's depicted between a man and a woman, written by Solomon, David's son. What's fascinating about it, though, is that several brilliant people in the history of the church have also regarded it as a love story, an allegory about Christ and his bride, the church. Now, whether or not it is that is entirely a matter of interpretation. It was, after all, written centuries before Jesus' birth, but often in Scripture one may look back and see things that God planted centuries before, if you will, that are discovered and treasured later. Robbie recently spoke about this from the standpoint of allegory. He sees it that way. I'm not as inclined to because of the context and rather explicit language in places, but I do see some parallels. I do see some themes here that are very worth pondering when it comes to our relationship with God. So here's why this matters to us. Christmas is coming today, first Sunday of Advent, a season in which, again, we recognize not only that Jesus came, but that he is coming again. And reading parts of this song as a reminder about our relationship with him can help us, especially in the area of anticipating his return. I will get up, go about the city, through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. Are you looking? Are you and I looking and anticipating Jesus' return? Do we look forward to him? Do we love him with a heartfelt love? Again, three times, right? The one my heart loves, the one my heart loves, the one my heart loves. When we sing at this time of year, oh, come let us adore him. Do we mean it, or is that language of adoration just kind of something that's stuck in the carol? A little like sonnets from the Portuguese, right? We love to sing praise songs, but is adoring God actually more like a foreign language to us? How's your heart in that? Good conversation to have with him. Adoration was never meant to be a foreign language to us. Just look at the first verse of chapter 3 as an illustration. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. This is the same kind of affection you see David expressing. Psalm 63, verse 6 and following. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. You and I need to cling to God. That, by the way, is a phrase that appears several times throughout the Old Testament. And it doesn't matter whether or not you're a tactfully defensive person. Some people are by nature. The other day I was at the funeral home conducting the service, and as I was talking to one of the funeral directors, I reached out and touched him on the arm, and he practically did this, you know. It was like, and you know, some people by nature hug more than others. I'm a hugger by nature. It's just one of those things about the way we're physically wired, but spiritually speaking, how about it? Do you cling to God? Is there that sense of I have to be close to Him? There's this sense of longing that we see here. Again, I'll get up now. I'll go about the city through its streets and squares. I'll search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for Him, but did not find Him. Go back again to David's heart. Psalm 101, verses 1 and 2. I will sing of your love and justice to you, Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? Interesting wording, isn't it? But again, that desire for closeness with God. And you see this from beginning to end in Scripture. Whether it is on the part of God in the Garden of Eden, Adam, why are you hiding? To the cry of the hearts of the church in the Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. So, dear one, we need to ask ourselves, are we consistent with the Christian faith in this? Is that the longing of my heart, really and truly, for Him? You know, God has placed, I mean, gosh, we just got out of Black Friday, right? And I mean, it seems like every year now we see all kinds of mishaps in, in shopping centers, and you think about where so often we're drawn. Think about, for example, where the primary focus of our hearts are on a day like Black Friday. Getting good deals, maybe. Maybe it's for someone we love. We justify it that way. Don't forget, tomorrow is Cyber Monday. Interesting how we get pulled away, isn't it? Elizabeth Barrett Browning was also a believer in Jesus. And besides sonnets from the Portuguese, she also wrote, God's gifts put man's best dreams to shame. That's not Sonnet 43, that's another. What God wants to give us is so good, because most of all, He wants to give us Himself. And you and I are by nature so tied to this world that we keep trying to stuff things and titles and relationships into that place that God alone can fill. But this is why Jesus came, to draw us close so that we can know this loving, tender relationship. And he will help us in this. So again, just between you and me, how is your heart with this morning? The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go. My mother used to have a devotional book on her shelf. It used a phrase from the 8th chapter of the Song of Solomon, "Come away, my beloved." I used to think that was God speaking to us, telling us to come away. But in the Song of Songs, it's actually the bride that says that. And allegorically, again, it raises that question. Am I cherishing that time with God, just between us? I don't want to go there in our thinking because I've arrived there, but because this is where I need to go. This is where his Spirit is working within me, you know, to help me go there. Peter described this when he wrote in 1 Peter 1:8 and 9, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You see, the mistake that we make is thinking that faith in Jesus is simply an intellectual construct. Oh, it is that. I mean, there are a series of things that we believe intellectually, but it goes so much deeper than that. It absolutely has to. When the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and minds, it touches our emotions as well. It affects the whole of us. So Paul would write in Galatians 2:20, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That language of giving. I know the thought is so simple, it could seem like I'm belaboring the point. But how about it? Is there that giving of self to the one who has given himself to you? The one who has loved you and me more than life. How much is that a part of our thinking? I'm giving myself to God. Charles Spurgeon said in a sermon that I have the original copy of hanging on the wall in my study, just a page, but here's what's on the page. "When the heart is taken up with so delightful an object as the ever-blessed God, it feels an intensity of joy which cannot be rivaled." Now, it's not that you and I live for experience per se, our experience of the goodness of God. However, that experience does matter. So we shouldn't be addicted to moving from one spiritual high to the next, if you will. But at the same time, if you never have a sense of his peace, if you never have a sense of joy from knowing him, then something is wrong. Now, that doesn't mean likewise that you and I may not struggle simply because the way we are physically wired, right? I mean, if you're prone to depression, for example, or anxiety, it may be more difficult, but still there should be moments in our hearts and lives where the reality of God's presence presses in. I think of a time when I was an associate pastor in California, and I was reading the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence. And one night, I went to bed, didn't anticipate anything, but that night I dreamt that I was in the presence of God all night long. And there was this pervasive love. There was this sense of light. I can't remember anything visual except for that. But it, again, Spurgeon's talking about this sense of joy. Oh, it was that. And the amazing thing was that when I woke up, I wasn't tired at all. And I'm one of those guys who need sleep. But it was just this sense of, oh, I've been with Jesus and it's absolutely wonderful. There is nothing better than that. I mean, here, over 30 years later, I'm still telling you about it. And I remember as I was in my doctoral studies reading through some of the writings of Jonathan Edwards, the diary of his wife, Sarah, and as I'm reading through some of her recollections, she talks about this night where she dreamt that she was in the presence of Jesus all night long. And Carrie, I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was one night before we were going to bed that I was reading that, and I highlighted it and I said, look at that. Look at that. That is exactly the same thing that what she is articulating is exactly the same thing that I experienced. And this is one of the reasons why we must pay attention when we sing in church. Because again, you know, I'll quote it often, but the church doesn't speak her lies, she sings them. We have to be careful. But one thing we can notice is that the same experiences of God, this same sense of sweetness, this same sense of goodness, this hope, this pervasive looking forward to Jesus is there regardless of when it is written, 21st century, 10th century. We've sung hymns from both of those places, and the same thing is there. Why? Because God doesn't change. The reality of his presence with his people is a solid thing. So this isn't about trying harder in our relationship with God. It's about receiving from him the life that he longs to pour into us. And to do that, we have to make ourselves available. Again, this is not about effort any more than drinking a glass of cool water is work when you are thirsty. Maybe that's why Jesus used that expression about himself, that he would give us living water. There is soul satisfaction that awaits us. It's not just words. It's not an exaggeration. Our Savior loves us and wants to be with us. The amazing thing is that the expression of your heart and the expression of my heart matters to Jesus. It matters to God the Father. It matters to the Holy Spirit. He longs to hear from us. He longs to have that love expressed. Think of, as a parent, how much that clenched fist full of dandelions meant to you on that day, right? The slightest gift from the heart of a child. And multiply that infinitesimally with God. You know, one other thing, when Elizabeth Barrett married Robert Browning, and some people are like this, but her parents did not approve. And so shortly after her marriage to Robert, they moved to Italy, where she would faithfully write her parents frequently. But years later, a box of letters was returned to her, and every one of them was unopened. How sad. How sad. And you feel sorry for her in that. You also feel sorry for the one who wouldn't open. Because those were treasures from her heart. How God longs to hear from us. And the treasures He will pour into us that we may pour back to Him and of our own free will love Him even more are not to be missed. That's really what Advent's about. It's really what the Christmas season is about. Loving Jesus more, looking forward to Him. John, who simply referred to himself as the disciple of Jesus, who Jesus loved, said it this way in 1 John 3:1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we may be called the children of God." This is all about love. This is all about heart. How do I love Thee? Let me count the ways. That would be a good thing. Good prayer. May we pray. Lord, help us to love. Help us to have this tenderness of heart with You. Go there more to cling to You, to incline our hearts toward You, to rest in You, to just be with You. Thank You that as we do, we will discover and in that discovery will be joy. Because You are wonderful. Thank You for loving us first. Help us to love You in return. In Jesus' name. Amen. thy glorious throne.
The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard told a story about a prince who longed that a maiden in the village would love him. And he thought about ways he could win her to himself. First he thought, well, I could simply command her to love me. After all, I am the prince. But then he realized, no, it doesn't work that way. Then he thought, well, because I am the prince, I could shower her with gifts. And then he thought, well, if I do that, will she love me or will she love the gifts? And then he thought of another way. She didn't know what he looked like. He could go into the city and live near where she lives and work there, not as a prince, but just as an everyday guy. And then she could get to know him as he is. And then, perhaps she would give her heart to him. If the story sounds familiar, yes, Kierkegaard was a believer. And one of my favorite quotes from him, I mentioned it a couple Sundays ago, "I've been to church today and I'm not depressed." Because if we make it all about the trappings and we're just on a loop year after year, but if we're looking forward to him and increasingly in love with him, oh, I searched for the one my heart loves. And when I found him, I would not let him go. Lord, bless us to go there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.